Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words with me, your host, Kevin Treasure, author of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Our aim is to help people win in life through the power of their words. You are born to win.
We've had to work it. And for the next 25 years, if we listen to me, we can't just get to 25 years and rest on our laurels and say everything's all right now. No, if we want the next successful 25 years, we're still going to have to work it. I'm still going to have to be a good husband, rely upon the Holy Spirit, teach me how to treat my wife, how to speak to my wife. Amen. And likewise, she the same. Amen. So we've got to be careful how we treat our spouse. Women are emotional creatures. So you've got to know your spouse by the Spirit. And you've got to know and listen to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Say, Holy Spirit, is anything I've done wrong? And Lord, teach me. Amen. As if it's a wife, teach me how to speak to my husband. You may have been a woman that wasn't used to no man talking to you a certain way, or no man talking to you at all. And you may have been a woman that grew up in her teenage years and you didn't have to submit to no one. But now that you're saved, and I hope I'm not treading on no one's corns, I'm so glad I can't see you. I don't know your business, so you can't say, no one tell me. Amen. You can't say, oh, preacher, you're preaching on me. This is coming live and direct from the radio. So we give God thanks and praise. And you may be a woman that's never had to submit to a man, and now you're married and now you're saved. And the Bible says, women, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And you may be one of those women that kind of find that hard. Well, God is saying, I will give you the grace to submit to your husband, because you must submit to me. And in doing so, you must submit to your husband. But if there's a husband listening and say, you're looking at your wife and say, yes, you must submit to me. Let me just go back a further. The Bible first says, husbands, love your wives. Amen. I don't know why I'm going on marriage. It said first in Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives. I tell a new husband, listen to me. If the husband does the first thing, it's easy for a woman to do the next thing. Because I've never met a woman that will find it hard to submit to a man that loves her. When a man loves a woman, the woman will easily submit to the man. But the man, God will speak to the man first, because the man is the head. Let me leave that marriage advice right there. So how, pastor, how do I help? How do I bridle my tongue? We've got to learn to bridle our tongue. The Bible says in the psalmist, amen, I said, I've set a watch before my mouth. I set a watch before my tongue. And what's he saying there? New Testament was saying, Holy Spirit, teach me how to guard my words. Teach me, amen. Help me to pause before I speak. Especially when we're angry. When we're angry, we can say some things that we don't really mean, and we just fly off the hook. And because we're angry, the words have already gone out there and the damage has been done. And you may have made up, and maybe 2 weeks later, your wife or your friend comes back to you and said, when you were angry, you said that. Did you really mean that? But now, because why? Because the words have gone out. So we've got to learn to pause before we speak. I'm going to say it again. We've got to learn. You've got to write this down. We've got to learn to pause before we speak. Amen. We've got to learn, especially when we're being confronted by people out on the road, and people come and they want to come and say, oh, Christians this and Christians that, and the Bible says this and the Bible says that. We've got to learn to pause and listen and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to answer this? Amen. The Bible says we must know how to give an answer to everyone concerning our faith. So learn to pause before we speak. Sometimes you get in situations, I've been in situations where the Holy Spirit will just say, don't say anything. And sometimes it'll be the hardest thing to do. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes it will be the hardest thing to do when the Holy Ghost will just say, don't say anything. And someone may be shouting, someone may be screaming at you, someone may be cussing you off, cursing you off, sorry, depending on where you're from. But the Holy Ghost will say, don't say anything. Keep quiet. Because God is saying, listen to me, he knows if you say something, he knows it's going to make it worse. So we've got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he that keepeth his tongue keepeth his life. Amen. Let me find that for you. It says, he that keepeth his tongue keepeth his life. Amen. So we've got to learn to keep our tongue. Amen. It's not everything you need to say. Sometimes we want to blurt out everything and speak everything, and God said, it's not everything that you need to say. Because he that keepeth his tongue keepeth his life. He says, the lip of truth shall be established, but a lying tongue shall be cut out. Let me just go into some scriptures in regards to the power of the tongue. Amen. It says, the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. Proverbs 14 verse 3, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So it's saying the lip of the wise shall preserve you. So you got to say, God, give me the wisdom. Show me. Amen. If the Bible says also in James 1, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So we've got to learn to pause and say, God, what do you want me to say? Learn to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? Amen. What do you want me to say? How should I answer? The Bible says in Proverbs 15 verse 28, let me teach you a bit. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Amen. I love that. Proverbs 15 verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies to answer. So it studies. It says, okay. And learn to listen when people are speaking, especially when you're evangelizing, when you're witnessing. Amen. Learn to listen. Because some people want to argue, but just learn to listen. But the Bible says the righteous, and we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, studies how to answer. Amen. So you've got to learn to study how to answer. But it says the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Because go again, Jesus said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. So you've got to learn to study how to answer. Study. Amen. You've got to learn to keep quiet and say, okay, God, what are you saying? Because pleasant words are as honeycomb to the soul and health to the bones. So we want to be people that build other people up. Amen. Build other people up and strengthen other people when they're down. Because I'm a 999 operator. I've moved on to another, but I was a 999 operator for many years. Amen. And many times people will call and they want to kill themselves. They just come on the line and say, I want to kill myself. I want to get, and I need to speak to them and start to, I can't mention religion because I'm at work, but I speak to them. I try to change the conversation. I try to get them to find out, okay, what's going on in your life? And man, you've got kids, listen to me, what do your kids say? And we have to speak to people. When people are down and they want to commit suicide and end their life, listen, they need words that are going to build them up, not words that are going to tear them down, not words that say, well, you're going to go and do something stupid like that for. No, we've got to get to the point. Amen. What is it that's causing you? What lie are you believing? Amen. Because there are many people believing lies. A suicidal spirit taking out men and taking out women, taking out young people. And if that's you today, suicide is not the answer. I'm going to say that again. Suicide is not the answer. If you die without Jesus, you're going to go to a place of eternal torment called hell, which God did not create for you. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Amen. So listen to me. Don't believe the lies of the devil. He's deceiving many people. Amen. He's whispering in the ears of people and telling them they're no good. He's called the accuser of the brethren for a reason. And this is why our words have to build up, and our words have to bring people to the Lord. Our words have to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Our words have to be the good news, which is the gospel. Our words have to let them know they've been forgiven, they've been declared righteous, that Jesus has become the propitiation of our sin, that we've been made justified just as though we've never sinned, that you can be forgiven no matter what you've done, when you've done it, who you've done it with, and how long you've been doing it. You can be forgiven if you just repent and put your trust in Jesus. So if you're suffering with suicidal thoughts, I break every suicidal spirit off your mind now in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, I loose you from the bond of wickedness, Makarabasanta, and everything that holds you bound. I command every spirit to go in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I loose you now in your mind, Makarabasanta, every lying spirit, go, every seducing spirit that tries to seduce God's people from the things of God and the life of God. I break that bondage now and that yoke of your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do you know how many people are committing suicide? People are falling to eternity daily. And this is why we have a work to do. And this is why I'm so passionate about believers doing what God has called them to do. And stop fighting against one another and pulling down one another. And I belong to this church and I belong to this denomination. And I belong to this man of God and I serve them. Listen to me, God ain't interested in all that. All he wants to know is, do you know my son Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Because we're all going to stand before God and give an account of the things done in this flesh. Amen. And the Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Are we persuading people to come to Jesus? Are we persuading people to turn from their wicked ways and put their trust in the Lamb? Are we persuading people? Our words are meant to persuade people. He's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, be reconciled to God. Our words have power. Our words have power. The Bible says in Proverbs, Even when a fool, when he stays silent, he's counted as wise. And said it again. So you may be foolish at times, but he says, even a fool, when he holds his tongue, is counted as wise. So you've got to be careful, amen, to hold our tongue in times that we know that what we say could get us into trouble. The Bible says, when Job lost everything, his three friends came and they sat down with him. And they sat down with him for 7 days and they said nothing. And if you read the book of Job, that was the best thing that they ever done. But when they started talking, that's what revealed their heart. Oh, you must have sinned, you must have done. And Job is just a conversation between him and his friends are going back and forth. And him saying, you must have sinned, and this and that, and all them Bildad and all these people, these three friends are giving accusations of what Job could have done and why he's going through his suffering. And he said, miserable comforters, I believe one of the scriptures says in regards to the book of Job. But they didn't have anything good to say to build him up. And when people are going through suffering, they really need encouragement. And I speak to a lot of Christians today, amen, that really need encouragement. And we're supposed to be our brother's keeper. So I tell people, be an encourager. Be a motivator. If you want, be a cheerleader. But amen, but learn to lift people up, even when they're fallen, amen. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said one word, said, come. And as he came, the Bible says that he started to take his eyes off Jesus when he saw the winds boisterous and the waves. He took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, we will always begin to sink. When we take our eyes off the Word of God, amen, we'll begin to sink. When we take our eyes off what God is saying, we'll begin to sink in our problems and worry and anxiety and fear and get demotivated and don't want to come to church, want to lay in bed, don't draw the curtains, fall into depression. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we will begin to sink. But even in Peter's sinking, Jesus reached out and took him by the hand. Why did you doubt? But he brought him back into the boat. So like Jesus, when people are sinking because they've taken their eyes off Jesus, when people are sinking, amen, and they're going through a depression and they're going through a hard time and they've stopped talking about the things of God, stop praying, stop believing, stop fellowshipping, we've got to go and reach out and pick them up and walk them back into the boat. We've got to be voices of encouragement. We've got to be the light in this dark world. The Bible calls us the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we've got to look in our lives and say, who are we giving light to? And who are we salting? Who are we preserving? Salt is a preserver. Amen. Salt stops meat from going off. Amen. If you pack meat with salt, amen, it will preserve it, make it last longer. Whose lives and whose ministries and whose marriages and what friendships are we making last longer? Because we're salting them, amen. Because we're strengthening them. Because we're giving them God's word. We're releasing the prophetic and we're helping them. Who are we salting them and who are we giving light to? Amen. In the workplace, do people know that you're saved? In the workplace, are you the Christian? Are you the person that people can come to and say, listen, I'm in a situation, I'm in a jam, and I really need your prayers, amen? Are we that person that someone can come to when they're in a jam and say, please, intercede for me. Please, pray for my marriage. Please, pray for my son. He's about to go to court. Please, pray for this. I'm about to go to doctors and I'm a bit scared. Who are we encouraging? Who are we going to be the light to? Because there's a world that's dying out there. And the Bible says darkness is covering the world and gross darkness to people. But the word of God declares that the light of God will arise upon us. So let the light be seen in us. We are that city that is set on the hill that cannot be hid. I don't care who you are. We cannot be hid because of who we have. And because Jesus the exalted one, amen, we're that city that is set on the hill. We cannot be hid, or we should not be hid. No man lights a bushel and puts it under a bed. No, but he puts it on the top of the room so all can see it. And how are people going to see us? But what we say and what we do. So we've got to be careful that we say, God, if you're the one that's been struggling with the words that you speak, struggling with how you act and what you say to people, and you're the one that's always snapping at people, you're the one that's quick to judge and quick to condemn. And the Bible says, condemn no one, judge no man, because of the same judgment you give, it's going to be given unto you. Amen. If you're that one that's always putting people down and not putting, bringing people up. And sometimes the Bible says rebuke, reprove, instruct of all long suffering. So there are some people that you're going to need some rebuking. But Jesus, if you look at the churches, amen, he commended them, rebuked them, instructed them. So when you rebuke someone, give them instruction of how they can be better. Amen. And do everything in love. I'm going to say that again. Christians, do everything in love. Because God is love. Amen. Do everything in love. Because God is love. So you've got to learn to be the love of God. He didn't say God is like love. He said, no, God is love. Amen. So whatever we do and whatever we say, love must be at the forefront. Amen. Love must be the motive for everything we do. Let me say this again. Love must be the motive for everything we do. We've got to be careful of preachers that manipulate people to give money or soul and this and that. We've got, because what is the motive? The motive is manipulation. If the motive is not love, but it's to line in your pockets, we've got to be careful. Amen. We've got to be careful. Our motives must always be out of love. I'm going to say that again. Our motives must always be out of love when we rebuke and when we reprove. Amen. We're instructive of righteousness. When we have to say something to someone that may be unpleasant, we've got to speak it in a way that's going to cause them to repent and to want to be better. Amen. It doesn't always go that way, but our motive always must be love. I've written a book many years ago now called The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality, because I'm so passionate. I tell people, I cannot bring you above your confession. When someone says I can't, you won't. But when someone says I can, you will. Many people limit themselves but by what they're speaking. Amen. Many people speak over their life. I'll never be no good. I'll never be this. I'll never be that. And I'm telling you, belief cure and belief kill, they say. David says, I believed, therefore I have spoken. So what are you believing? This is why we've got to spend time in the Word of God. You've got to spend time soaking up the Word, soaking up the Word. When Moses died, God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart of your mouth. But what are you going to do? Meditate. When? Day and night. And observe to do. For then will you make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. So he said this word, listen to me, for you to have good success and be prosperous, this book of the law shall not depart of your mouth. But now we have the word in its entirety, and Jesus has given us his grace, amen, and we're now under the covenant of grace. How much more, if this book of the law did not depart out of Joshua's mouth, and it gave him good success and prosperity, how much more this book of grace, amen, depart out of our mouth? How much more? The Bible says, how much more the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, God will cause us to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Because of one man's sin, many became sinners, but because of one man's obedience to God, many can become righteous. So what I'm saying is, listen, if Joshua studied the word of God, thought about the law of God, practiced the law of God, and he was prosperous and had good success under that dispensation, how much more the dispensation of grace that we concentrate on the words of Jesus, on the epistles of Paul, the Pauline letters, on what God has for us and who we are, amen, and how we can reign in life. How much more, amen, will we be prosperous and be successful in this life? Learn to control your words.
Thank you for tuning to The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Check out our website, kevintreasure.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are born to win.